නමෝ භගවතේ වාසුදේවාය. ඕ anyone wants to repair eta gyana prapadyante anya devata tam tam niyom asthaya prakrityaniyatasvaya. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Translation of this verse is as follows: those whose intelligence has been stolen by material desires surrender unto demigods and follow the particular rules and regulations of worship according to their own natures. Purport: those who are freed from all material contaminations surrender unto the Supreme Lord and engage in His devotional service. As long as the material contamination is not completely washed off, they are by nature non-devotees. But even those who have material desires and who resort to the Supreme Lord are not so much attracted by the external nature. Because of approaching the right goal, they soon become free from all material lust. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is recommended that whether one is a pure devotee and is freed from all material desires, or is full of all material desires, or desires liberation from material contamination, he should in all cases surrender to Vasudev and worship him. As stated in the Bhagavatam, 2nd canto, 3rd chapter, text number 10. Akama sarva kamo va moksha kamo udaradhi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. Less intelligent people who have lost their spiritual sense take shelter of demigods for immediate fulfillment of material desires. Generally, such people do not go to the Supreme Personality of Godhead because they are in the lower modes of nature, that is ignorance and passion, and therefore worship various demigods. Following the rules and regulations of worship, they are satisfied. The worshippers of demigods are motivated by small desires and do not know how to reach the supreme goal. But a devotee of the Supreme Lord is not misguided. Because in Vedic literature, there are recommendations for worshipping different gods for different purposes. Example, a diseased man is recommended to worship the sun. Those who are not devotees of the Lord think that for certain purposes demigods are better than the Supreme Lord. But a pure devotee knows that the Supreme Lord Krishna is the master of all. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi 5.142 it is stated, Ekala Ishvara Krishna Ara Sabhritya. Only the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna is master and all others are servants. Therefore, a pure devotee never goes to demigods for satisfaction of his material needs. He depends on the Supreme Lord, and the pure devotee is satisfied with whatever he gives. Om Ajnanati Mirandha. Hare Krishna. So we have been discussing Bhagavad Gita here in our evening sessions. And as you all know, Srimad Bhagavad Gita is a beautiful dialogue which was spoken 5,000 years ago by Lord Krishna to his dear friend and his dear devotee Arjuna. Now when there is a meeting, let's say between two businessmen, one businessman invites other businessman for a dining party, and if they sit together, there is no need to ask what did they discuss, because if two businessmen are going to come together, they're going to discuss about business, how to improve their business. So when two parties here, two people like Lord Krishna here and Arjuna is coming together, what they're going to discuss? Nothing else but devotion. So Krishna, Arjuna is going to ask Krishna how to render devotion to him. And Krishna is going to speak, very clearly, presently, without beating around the bush, simply around devotion. So Bhagavad Gita is a book on devotion. Of course, today in market, you'll find so many Bhagavad Gitas. Bhagavad Gita for this, Bhagavad Gita for that, Bhagavad Gita for improved life. People may use Bhagavad Gita for varied purposes, but actually the real purpose of the Bhagavad Gita for which Krishna spoke to Arjuna was for encouraging devotion to Krishna. And therefore Bhagavad Gita is stooped down. Everything, it's like, you know, if you take a rose, then everywhere around the rose there will be fragrance of rose only. Similarly, Bhagavad Gita has fragrance of bhakti, nothing else. So the real standard of bhakti is mentioned here. And based on that standard, here in this verse, Krishna is condemning or kind of deriding the worship of other gods. Real bhakti or real love is possible only when both the parties who are involved in the love affair have no aspiration or expectation from others, other party. Till the point a person is expecting from others, the love is tainted. And therefore we find that in today's world, people speak of love, but we just speak of love. Seldom we do find real love. And therefore initially there is love, but later there is either there is separation or maybe there is tolerance at best. The love fades away. The love evaporates. Why? Because real love is very rare in this world. And therefore real love is possible only with Supreme Lord Vishnu or Lord Krishna. Why? Because one thing is guaranteed. When you approach Krishna, and if there is pure devotion in your heart, there is no expectation from Lord, then there is real love. Because Lord is not expecting anything from us. And if you don't expect anything from the Lord, but just His service, His devotion, then there is real love. But still, nonetheless, Krishna is encouraging, even if you have something, if you have some desires, approach me. What will happen? Because at least one party in this case is not expecting, that is Krishna, from you. You may expect from Krishna so many things. So what will happen? Krishna will tolerate and Krishna will encourage you. In this world, we find sometimes when two people come together and they love each other, one party may not expect from other, but the other party may expect. But the problem is the other party who is not expecting may not be tolerant. And therefore the relationship doesn't last long. Tolerance level is not, at least one party is not tolerant. But Krishna is very tolerant. And therefore anyone can approach Krishna. So from highest standard, Krishna is speaking to Arjuna here that pure devotional service is the best, and therefore worshipping Krishna undividedly without any deviation is the best. That is Krishna's recommendation in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna is an expert doctor. Just recently I had a chance to meet one doctor for a certain ailment in my life. And then he was an Ayurveda doctor, and he was telling me that how one should regulate one's eating habits, one's sleeping habits, and that is the best thing instead of having so many medicines in our life. So then I told him that, well, certain medicines which you have recommended to me, it is not possible for me to eat those medicines. Why? Because certain part of my life I cannot, I am not available to take those medicines at that time. So then he told, okay, no problem, I will change the prescription. And then based on my lifestyle, he changed the prescription and gave me those medicines which I can eat. That's an expert doctor. So he wanted the best of my health and he prescribed certain medicines. But when he saw that I was not ready for the best medicine, he gave me something lower, which I can take and slowly, gradually build up my health. The best of his medicines would have made me healthy very fast. But because I was not ready, he gave me a medicine in due course of time, which will take little longer time, but in long duration of time, I will be better in my health. So Krishna is an expert doctor in the Bhagavad Gita. For Arjuna, he is recommending direct. Okay, no going here and there. Come to me. Why? Because you are pure-hearted. But those who are not pure, Krishna is recommending. Okay, no problem. You can fulfill your desires. You can go here and there. No problem. But do it properly. As per regulations. Tam tam niyamam asthaya. Don't do it haphazard way. Don't do freestyle. Everything is done properly. If doctor gives us medicine, we don't eat medicines in our style. We eat medicines as per doctor's prescription. If doctor tells, okay, in the morning, 3 tablets, in the evening, 3 tablets, and for 5 days, you take those tablets, what do? We follow the prescription. We don't think, okay, in the morning, I did not take, so let me take morning and evening together in the evening. We can't do that. That can harm us, actually. So prescription is essential. So Krishna is in this verse speaking about real devotion. Who is Arjuna? Arjuna was not an ordinary person. Arjuna was a pure devotee of Krishna. Arjuna was tempted in his life so many times, but he never got tempted. That is Arjuna's greatness. Before the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Arjun on one side from Pandavas and Duryodhan from the side of Kauravas, they both wanted to approach Krishna because Arjuna had gathered a party, an army for himself, and Duryodhana had gathered an army for himself. So only one person was remaining who had not taken anyone's side. That was Krishna. So both of them reached Krishna simultaneously. Duryodhana came first, and that time Krishna was taking rest on his bed. So Duryodhana came and sat near Krishna. Where Krishna was lying near his pillow, Duryodhana was sitting, waiting for Krishna to awake. And Arjuna came and he saw Krishna is sleeping. But Arjuna, being a devotee of Krishna, he sat near the feet of Krishna. So Krishna woke up. Krishna woke up and he saw, as soon as he woke up, he saw someone very exactly straight. He didn't see someone here. It's natural. When you get up, you don't see here like this. You wake up, you see your eyes, open your eyes, and you see someone in front. So Krishna saw Arjuna in front. So Duryodhana said, I came first. But Krishna said, you may have come first, but I saw Arjuna first. And Arjuna was given a chance. The temptation was there. So Krishna said, okay, you have come to take me in your army, in your party. You have two choices. Well, one choice is you can have me, but with a condition. The condition is that I will not take any weapons. And the other option is, you can take my Narayani Sena. So Duryodhana was thinking, oh, I am missing a chance. The first option Arjuna is getting. And Arjuna said, Krishna, I want you. And Duryodhana was smiling from inside. My God, such a foolish person. Now Krishna, what he can do? Krishna is there and he is not going to fight also. He is not going to raise any weapons. And he was foolishly laughing at Duryodhana, at Arjuna. And Duryodhana was saying, and Duryodhana told Krishna, what can I do? He has already asked. So whatever he wants, let him take. I will be satisfied with Narayani Sena. So Krishna was tempted by, Arjuna was tempted by Krishna there to ask. But Arjuna chose whom? Krishna. He knew, if Krishna is there, everything else will come. That is the best part. So for Arjuna, Krishna is recommending pure devotional service. No going here and there. Come to me. Shishra Radha Gopinath ki jai, Lalita Vishakha ki jai, Shri Gopal ji, Shri Gaur Nitai Bhagwan ki jai. Now someone may ask, you Hare Krishna, you always speak about Krishna, Krishna and only Krishna. Why not some other gods? Well, we are propagating what Krishna has spoken in Bhagavad Gita. Krishna directly speaks. If you are pure in heart, come to me directly. Why go here and there? I'll provide all money, all your needs because I'm supreme. But as Krishna suggests, Krishna is all merciful. Krishna, for a very strict students, gives strict standards. But a person who is not coming to the strict standard, as I mentioned that I was not able to take the right prescription of the Ayurveda doctor, but he prescribed me something lower, which I can easily take up. So Krishna also recommends, okay, you cannot come to me because you are not pure-hearted, no problem. Krishna arranges through the Vedas, worship of demigods. Yeah, if you have some desires, no problem. Go ahead, worship them, fulfill your desires, But by fulfilling those desires in due course of time, you will get purified. Therefore, in this verse, Krishna is saying, Kamaistaste Ritagyana. Let us analyze this verse very nicely. Kamaistaste. Krishna is saying, those who are having kama. In this particular verse, kama refers to material desires. Those who are having material desires. Now we see in this world, desires. Material desires are how much? Unlimited. Can anyone count how many desires one has in their heart or in their brains or in their mind, wherever the desires are stored? You cannot calculate. There are unlimited material desires. I came across a very nice saying that if we all get a chance to write down our desires, and let us say we get a chance to write down all our desires and we have facilities to write down those desires. That means we are supplied by paper which is as big and as vast as the sky. Paper as vast as the sky. And if we have a supply of ink as much as an ocean, as much as water is in the ocean, similarly as much supply of ink is given to you, which is as equal as the water of the ocean. And if we are given a fountain pen, and the nib of the fountain pen is as minute as an atom, that means you can really write very small. And we try to chalk out all our desires we have. It is mentioned, and the paper will finish, the ink will get exhausted, the atomic nib, because of so much of writing, so small, will break. Yet we will not able to chalk out all our desires on the paper. Why? Because desires are all unlimited. Presently, we may have only one or two desires coming up in our life. But it is like when you're going on a lake, if you happen to go on a boating on a lake, you will see sometimes fish pops up and they go down. They just jump and go down. So if two fishes pop up, can we conclude that there are only two fishes in the lake? We cannot conclude. There are hundreds of fishes in the lake. Right now, two have popped up and we can see them. Similarly, the expanse of material desires which we have in our heart are unlimited. Right now, presently in our life, at the present moment, we may have some material desires, some desires which are very prominent, which we have to fulfill. That is the nature of a material desire. The material desires are unlimited and the resources are limited. And therefore, by nature, a person is never satisfied. As soon as one desire is fulfilled, he is not feeling satisfied. Oh, my desire is fulfilled. Why? Immediately, the next desire comes up. Okay, I want this, I want that. And therefore, we find in this world, a person who is a beggar, he has unfulfilled desires. A person who is dirty rich, even he also unfulfilled desires. So there is no end to desires. And therefore there is always a craving. We want more. We want more. There is always a greed in the heart. I read a nice poem. Very nice poem. Explaining our nature. Very beautiful but very direct. Very cutting. It mentions, by nature, man is a fool. When it is hot, he wants it cool. When it is cold, he wants it hot, always wanting that which is not. That is our nature. We are always dissatisfied. A small thing is enough to make our life miserable. Is it not? We may have everything in our life. Just one small thing is enough to make our day miserable. Someone spoke something wrong to us. Kisne kuch bol diya. Kisne dhakka de diya. That's enough. You didn't get right amount of breakfast for your right amount of food for your breakfast, or your lunch was very cold. Something is there in our life which makes us miserable in spite of everything we have in our life. Why? Because the dirt of material desires which we have. So therefore, material desires have to be reduced and not cultivated and grown. But we find everywhere in the media today, what is told? Take more. Have more, aspire more. Why less? Go for more. You have one, Why one? Go for four. Go for five. And when we tell people, don't cultivate material desires, reduce them, then what people say? You devotees, you're always very background, very kind of old people, you know, old style. Modern life should have more and more. But the problem is, when we have more and more, we get accustomed to get more and more, and we are more and more dissatisfied. So therefore, Vedic civilization was training people to have less and be satisfied with what you have. But the problem is, we have something, but we always keep looking what we don't have or what others have. So therefore, material desires are called as kama, that which cannot be fulfilled. So kama is tester rita jnana. The best part is this, rita jnana. Lord Shri Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, kama is tester. One who has material desires, what happens? What is the certification of Krishna? Is he a very intelligent, very advanced person? No. Rita jnana. Rita jnana means whose intelligence is lost. That is Krishna's certification. One who is cultivating or has many material desires, he is rita jnana. His intelligence is stolen. He has lost his senses. Why? Because when we have a lot of material desires, we really lose intelligence. We do not know what is good for us. We end up just fulfilling our desires and wanting and craving for those things sometimes which we do not want also. Like for example, people want to enjoy. What is the style of enjoyment today in this world? People want to drink, people want to enjoy smoking. But are these two things real enjoyment? The people who are producing it, the factories, they themselves label it on the product. It is injurious to health. People see that, but people still drink and smoke. Why? Because people do not know that instead of enjoying those things are taking our life away. And therefore, intelligence is stolen. When the intelligence is stolen, what happens? A person does not know whether he is doing right or wrong. Like smoking. Smoking is, in the packet it is mentioned, smoking is injurious to your health. But yet everyone smokes. The packet is seen. And nowadays in America, they say that even a cigarette, even the stick of a cigarette, they also have written, you know, smoking is injurious to health. So they say they are smoking. But yet their intelligence is stolen. Why? Because material desires are like that. They completely make you dull-headed. People think, okay, I am not drinking too much. I am taking little. I am controlled. But what is controlled? Nothing is controlled. Everything goes uncontrolled in due course of time. Like, so I read one nice saying that, you know, alcohol. First the man takes the alcohol, then alcohol takes the alcohol, then alcohol takes the man. This is what happens. People become uncontrolled. People cannot regulate themselves. I know my friend, one of my friends, he told me, I am very controlled. If tomorrow I want, I can leave drinking and smoking. But that tomorrow never came. People only say, I can leave any time. But the point is, when time comes to leave, no one can leave. Why? Because one gets hooked to those material desires of enjoying. And therefore, Krishna says, a person who has material desires has lost his intelligence. And therefore, he does not know where to go and where not to go. Such a person, prapadyanti anya devata, he surrenders to that person who can fulfill his desires. So therefore, what happens? He goes to many people. He goes to gods. People generally, very often people come nowadays to temple for some desires. Like for example, we see that in our vicinity, in our temple, we have many colleges. There is Bharati Vidya Bhavan's college and this Wilson College. And invariably people come, many students come here. But especially sometime in a year, many students come to our temple. And then we come to know that maybe exams are very close. So they are all coming here. So we see that as soon as we require something, we come to God. That is called as kama stesta rita jnana prapadyanti anya devata. That means we have requirements and so we go. So when we have requirement and we go, is it love? There is no love. And that's what Krishna is saying. Real love is possible when there is no expectation from the other party. As soon as you expect, you cannot have love. It is only superficial love. In a family, there is love because there is good reciprocation between family members, the child and the parents. Now just suppose if a child always approaches the father for something, always for something, the father will think, what is this my child? He is always approaching me for something. He never comes to me without any purpose, any reasoning. There won't be proper love. So proper love is that love where there is no expectation. Expectation is that I want to serve. That is the only expectation, that I want to serve. So prapadyanti anya devata. Nonetheless, Krishna is very merciful, as we discussed early. Krishna allows us, okay, no problem. You have some desires, you want to go to someone, okay. You cannot come to me, no problem. You go to whomever you want to go to some other gods, no problem, go there. Ask for your desire. Tam tam niyamam asthaya. Astha means faith. Whatever faith you have, you go to that person, ask for it. Why? At least you are accepting a superior person in your life. You are going to a person. You are understanding that in this life, in this world, you are not the controller. People, at least in this world, you are thinking that you are depending on someone. And you are going to the right person. A God who is superior. You are accepting a superior person. That is the first step in your life where you are accepting dependence on someone else for your enjoyment. That is very good. Krishna encourages that. But the problem is, Krishna has allowed that facility, but we have even abused that facility today. So Krishna has arranged that in Vedas, it is mentioned, you can go to other gods. But the problem is, we are going to other gods, but we are concocting the worship of those gods. We are not doing worship based on what Vedic scriptures are mentioning. We are designing our own worships. Now soon, in the next month, Ganesh festival is going to come. For 11 days, Lord Ganesh will be there in everywhere in Mumbai. Now, if you compare to what Ganesh worship is today in the 21st century and what is mentioned in the Vedas, what is Ganesh worship, you will be shocked. You will even faint. It's a vast difference. Like Jameen Asman ka farak. Why? Because people have given up the Vedas to worship Ganesh and they are concocting their own method. And therefore you find that why people are not having even faith in other gods. Why? Because they keep shopping from one god to other. It is very common in India to see Monday they will go to Lord Shiva, Tuesday they will go to Siddhi Vinayak, and Wednesday they will go to someone else, Thursday, and they're just shopping. Whoever is best, let me apply my... It's like you apply resume in all companies. Jidhar mil gaya udhar. So where is the question of love? Where is the question of faith? Faith means by knowledge you know that this god can provide me what I want. But that knowledge factor is also not there. And therefore like a ordinary dealing with ordinary jobs, you're dealing with gods. And therefore, Krishna is not actually recommending such worship. Such worship is foolishness. Real worship of God is, you know who the person is, what his capability is, and then you approach him, keep some faith in him, and he gives you that. That is, tam tam niyamam asthaya. By regulations, worship that God. And what will happen? When you go to that person and you don't have any expectations, what will happen? Or you have expectations and you go to the person, he will fulfill your desires. And by fulfilling those desires, what will happen? Your heart will, in due course of time, get purified. So therefore, one should approach spirituality in a proper way. It should not be some wishy and washy thing. Spirituality is not a freelance game. Spirituality is science. When you go in a chemistry laboratory, what do you do? You carry a logbook. In that logbook it is mentioned, okay, if you want to get this particular element in the lab, then you have to follow this procedure. Mix these two elements, mix these two compounds, these two chemicals in a particular fashion, in particular proportion. And then what will happen? By doing so, you will get that product. It's very scientific. You don't go to chemistry lab and take any solution and keep mixing here and there. You can't do that. Similarly, spiritual life is a science. Prayer is a science. You cannot just come to Krishna and just start praying. Bhagavan ye de do, wo de do. No, it's a science. When you approach a person, you should glorify the person. He is not a dukandar. You pay him money and he gives you. You went to a shopkeeper and say, chal, la ye sab dena. You give money, he has to give you. But when you approach God, you cannot be like that. You have to approach in a particular science, a fashion. You have to first glorify the person. And then express that how you need his help. And thirdly, then you express your desires. It's a scientific process, spirituality. And therefore, when you approach spirituality scientifically, you will see that you will get benefited. You don't have to shop around everywhere. The problem with shopping is, when you don't get what you want from some person, you reject it. In India, why there is no dearth of having gods? In fact, people condemn in the Western world that India means 33 crore demigods. So many gods. But problem in India is 33 crore is not enough. Newer and newer gods are adding up. Latest in the markets are coming up. Some Baba, some Guru comes and then he says, I am the incarnation of this god. Why? Because people see, when I go to temple and I ask, it takes so much time. But when I go to this Baba, in 2 days my desires are fulfilled. So this Baba is very more productive. Let me go there. So we are approaching God for, it's a customer relationship. It's like service. Who provides service? Today in market, in the industry we see, everyone projects, you take my consultancy. Why? Because I am good in providing services to others. So we are expecting, we are saying, who among everyone is providing better service nowadays? Let me approach him. But that is not the expectation, that is not the way to approach God. The way to approach God is to do service and not expect what service is giving. So when we approach based on Vedic knowledge, that is right approach. Even if we approach gods, if you don't approach Krishna, even if you approach gods, it is proper. Why? Because if you approach in the Vedic style, in due course of time, you'll understand that what is reality. Like for example, there was one nice Brahmana. He was very much materially minded. He wanted a lot of wealth in his life. So he went to Lord Shiva and he prayed to Lord Shiva, give me wealth, give me wealth, give me wealth. So Lord Shiva became very pleased with him. But Lord Shiva was thinking, what he will receive by having all this wealth? Because those who are already having wealth, they are already miserable. So this Brahmana has come to ask me wealth. But I am not a foolish person. I'll give him supreme wealth. So he told the Brahmana, you want wealth? Okay. I'll recommend you. Go to Vrindavan. And Vrindavan, on the banks of Yamuna, there is this Baba sitting. His name is Sanatan Goswami. You approach him. He will give you a touchstone. Touching that touchstone anywhere will convert ordinary substance into gold. You can have it from him. So this man was very overjoyed. Immediately he took a journey to Vrindavan. He reached on the banks of Yamuna. He saw Sanatan Goswami. And immediately offered Dandavat. Said, I have come to you. Lord Shiva has recommended me to come to you. And I want a lot of wealth in my life. And Lord Shiva has told me that I should ask you for a touchstone. Please give me a touchstone. He was very excited. So Sanatan Goswami said, you want a touchstone? Well, I don't remember where I kept it. She was surprised. What do you mean, touchstone? You don't remember where you kept it? And Sanatan Goswami said, 3 days ago I saw it. You can see that there is some dirt lying there on the corner. Jhadu marne ke baad wahan chhod diya maine. Wahi par hoga, le lo wahan par. He was shocked. Touchstone in the rubbish. In the rubbish garbage. But anyhow, he went there, he searched because he wanted a touchstone. Anyhow, he gets it. He picked up, he saw the touchstone. He touched it, tested also first. He saw it was converting everything into gold. And he was so happy. And told Sanatan Goswami, thank you very much. And he left. He went home and he was thinking, now I'll be the most happiest person. Because now I have the source from which I can get a lot of wealth. But in due course of time, in a month or so, he got tired of so much of wealth. Initially, because so when we get a lot of wealth, what happens? you lose your true friends. Happens. When too much wealth is there, you get many friends. But many are not true friends. They come for a purpose to you. Even your relationship gets very much strangled. Why? Because now wealth has become the part of your life. Center of your life is wealth. So after 2 months, he realized, my God, this touchstone has made me more miserable, even though now I am more rich than before. And then immediately started pondering, this Sanatan Goswami kept that touchstone in the rubbish clan. That means this person must be having something better. And therefore is throwing touchstone in the rubbish clan. So immediately ran back to Vrindavan and asked, ah, Sanatan Goswami, oh Sanatan Goswami ji, you threw the touchstone into rubbish garbage. So now it means that you have something better than this. What is that? I want that from you. So Sanatan Goswami told him, before I can give you that, you have to throw this touchstone in the Yamuna. He said, my God, if I throw it, and if what if afterwards you say, Hari Bol, I don't have anything to you. I will lose whatever I have. But he had to put that faith, he had to keep that faith, develop that faith in Sanatan Goswami. And with a heavy heart, he threw the touchstone in the Yamuna. And then he said, Sanatan Goswami, now what do you have? And Sanatan Goswami, with the power of his devotion, he told him, the greatest wealth I have is the wealth of devotion to the Supreme Lord. Once you have, no matter what position you have in society, you will be the most happiest person. Is it not? Whatever we are doing in our life is for becoming happy. Whether you want to be wealthy, whether you want to be MBA or a doctor, ultimately the boil down to is, we want happiness. Sanatan Goswami told him that bhakti to Supreme Lord Krishna will give that happiness to you. And then he gave him that secret of all secrets, the mantra. And he told him, close your eyes and I will chant this mantra, hear it properly. And he gave this Maha mantra which all of us know. And that mantra is, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we see, by worshipping Supreme Lord Krishna, one's material desires vanquish. The material desires keep us in this material world to suffer more and more. In fact, as we stay more in this world, we are going to suffer more and more. Is it not? All of us here, all of you who are hearing here, in the audience here, we see that in our life, when we were small children, our problems were different. And now the problems have become so big, aggravated. And we are expecting in the next 20 years, the problems are going to increase more and more. So why fulfill our material desires and stay in this world? Why not vanquish them and take to the pure devotion of Krishna? Practice pure devotional service and close our account in this material world and go to the spiritual world. That is the message of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is telling us. And that is what Krishna is aspiring from all of us. That whatever level you are, make an attempt to reduce the material desires and come ultimately to the platform of worshipping the Supreme Lord Krishna in pure love. Before ending, I will tell you a nice story from Srimad Bhagavatam. This story is about Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj, he had a very great aspiration in his life. His stepmother had insulted him and therefore he had aspired that I want to become greater than even my father. His father was ruling the entire world. And then he decided that I want to become greater. And in fact, his aspiration became more bigger. He said, I want to be greater. I want to have a kingdom greater than my great-grandfather. And his great-grandfather was Brahma. In his whole world, in his whole universe, the greatest kingdom is of Brahmaji. There is no creation which is better than Brahmaji's creation, Brahmaji's kingdom. But Dhruva wanted to have better than Brahmaji also. That means he was really ambitious. And his desire was really very big desire. But Dhruva went. He was told by Narada Muni, okay, go to forest and worship Krishna. So he took up the worship of Krishna, but very intensely. What happened? In due course of time, Lord Narayan appeared to him. And Lord Narayan told him, what do you want, my dear child? And Dhruva said, after seeing you, what else I need? He mentions, Kachan Vichinvan Api Divya Ratnam. That means I was searching for broken pieces of glasses. This kingdom, that kingdom, these are broken pieces of glasses. Broken pieces of glasses look very nice in sunshine. They glitter. But if you are not careful, you lift them, you might get cut. Blood may come out. That is how the material wealth and material prestige of society is. They glitter from outside, but as soon as you pick up, they harm you. They don't make you peaceful. They disturb your life. And he's saying, I was looking for broken pieces of glasses, but by worshipping you, now I have got you. You are what? Api Divya Ratnam. You are a precious jewel which I have attained. Therefore, I don't want anything now. So Dhruva started having a desire to have such a big kingdom. But in the end, he's saying to Lord Narayan, I don't want anything. But Lord Narayan told him, since you have come for a kingdom to me, I will give you a kingdom. So Krishna purified him, but also gave him his desires. His desire was to get a kingdom better than Brahmaji. And he got a planet which was better than Brahmaji. And that planet was a spiritual planet, Dhruva Loka. So Dhruva got his benediction, but on the way he got purified also from his material desires. He became a pure devotee. That is Krishna worship. So when we worship Krishna, whether it is out of lot of desires or out of no desire, no problem. Krishna therefore says in the Bhagavatam, Akama Sarva Kamo Va Moksha Kamo Udaradi. Akama, whether you have no desires, or Sarva Kama, whether you have lot of desires, you want to have a good career, you want to have a good family, you want to have a lot of wealth, you want to go abroad and so on and so forth, unlimited of those desires popping up, come to Krishna. Sarva Kamo Va or Moksha Kama, I don't want anything, I want to get liberation, both ho gaya. Tivrena Bhakti Yogena. Only one thing Krishna wants. What is that? Tivrena. Very sincerely, you practice Krishna consciousness. That is Krishna's aspiration. Once you practice Krishna consciousness, Tivrena, like Dhruva Maharaj, Yajetam Purusham Param, Krishna will be satisfied. He will purify us and also will give us what we want. That is Krishna consciousness. And that is what is recommended by Lord Krishna. So this is the message of Bhagavad Gita, that is pure devotional service. And practicing pure devotional service, we can feel satisfaction and a sense of fulfillment in our life. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Is there any question? One question we can take before we end our class. Okay, thank you so much for your patient hearing. Srila Prabhupada ki jaya, Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jaya.